the end. The upper
room. It's the J. Rouse Show coming up next on the TGI's Radio Network, dial.
The following is rated TV-MALSV. It contains strong language, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Spoken!
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah!
You gonna take me home tonight?
You are listening to the TJRS Radio.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show on a beautiful Thursday night here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. It's best 347-850-1272 if you want to talk to Dr. Princess Aldea. Show should be starting shortly. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We'll be on here shortly.
Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. The flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show with your host, Dr. Princess Aldea, the Queen of Inspiration.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show. I'm telling you, I was a little nervous there for a moment. I'm so excited about tonight. We have a wonderful, wonderful show ahead of us. We are simulcasting live here on TV, True Purpose Radio, and also on the TJRS Radio Network. And we hope that you are not going to hold this evening to yourself. Well, I want you to call all of your neighbors and friends, let them know that we're on live, and even call your enemies, because tonight we have special guest Anthony D. Collins. He is the author of the book Life is Outstanding. He's a radio talk show host and relationship panelist. He has been nominated for Best Male Host in 2011, and also he was nominated for Best Show of the Year in 2011. And we have more to share with Anthony, but I want you right now to get ready for a very positive and inspiring show, as our guest, Anthony D. Collins, he wrote this book that has 10 chapters of how to lead a more positive and productive life, no matter what circumstances you are going through. It's all a matter of how you look at the situation. So I'm excited about this because, you know, that's what I talk about all the time. So I want you to get ready. Yes, Facebook it, tweet it, get on your LinkedIn. People need to hear this. I talk about the haters a lot of times, and you know how the haters are. I always tell you, don't go to sleep on your haters. But I would say this to you. As I shared not too long ago an experience that I was having with haters, I implemented a positive attitude about it, sending them positive energy, just exercising my breath and inhaling positivity and exhaling negativity in the midst of the attack. And I'm telling you, that whole situation was turned around. So I'm excited because we have somebody that's in the house that's talking my lingo, okay? So then the second hour, you know how we do it. It's time for Keeping It Real with Doc and Momo B. And, you know, last night on the TJRS Radio Network, the J. Rouse Show, we had a great, interesting conversation all the way through to the end. And it was just absolutely awesome. But tonight we're going to continue that with also Auntie. She's a new one on the show, and we're excited about it. Tonight, the QOD, are you considered weak because you're too nice? Yeah, we got to talk about that because I think some things were misconstrued last evening. So we're going to continue the discussion. Don't you go anywhere. This is going to be a fabulous, fabulous show.
About me. When you're gone, I can't wait till you get home. You were wrong, so was I. So what are we gonna do?
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. I am so excited about tonight. We have Anthony D. Collins, who's going to be calling in just shortly. And this here, what we're talking about tonight, is right along the lines of what we talk about all the time with regards to our life and us making positive choices, choosing to be happy. I talked about it earlier today on the Jay King on the Jay King show. You know, I do at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I actually do the True Purpose Development Show on the Jay King Network. And today we talked about depression. And I went a little bit deeper into this area of discussion because I just had to. I've been seeing patients recently who are just completely products of the journey. That's all. They're just simply in the journey, and they're all taking medication. And that's sad to see because we all have journeys. We all go through and how we're going to go through it because a lot of times, guess what? When we get out of the situation, when we're getting out of the situation, some of us make it out alive and some of us don't. Some of us actually, we are so stressed out about the things that are just naturally happening to us, to the point that we cannot see straight. We allow for it to just take us down. Things that life is using, giving us opportunities to experience so that we can get to the place that we're desiring, we don't get there because we're so down and out about the situation, and we have chosen to look at it negatively. And I'm telling you, the key is for you to look at your situation in a positive light and not to look at it negatively so that it can actually help and not harm you. The journey is not to harm you. It's literally to help you make it and to help you fulfill the dreams that you want to fulfill. So we're trying to get, I'm not sure what's going on here. I was been in communication here with Mr. Collins, and he's texting me. So real time here, I'm going to have to take and look at the messages and see what's going on here. Okay. And I'm not sure what is the deal. But we're going to get it together. We're going to get it together. I want you to, while I'm taking care of this, we're going to take a brief break. We're going to take a song break. And this is one that I'm gonna listen to. Katy Perry, Roar. I love Katy Perry, Roar, because with this song, Katy Perry, she's talking about the journey. My daughter, when she was listening to this song, she actually started crying because she could relate so much to being in the journey and just looking at those lions and tigers and bears of situations that were in our lives, and how we had to face it and how we chose to be positive in the midst of the storm. It's absolutely awesome. So I want you to enjoy this while we step out for just a brief moment to handle this, and I can respond to Mr. Collins. Thanks.
Breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess, so I sit quietly, agree politely.
I want you guys to welcome to the stage Mr. Anthony D. Collins. Before I bring him live and before we do our applause for him tonight, I want to just go a little bit deeper into who Mr. Collins is so that you can have a clear understanding of what you are to expect this evening on this show. This is absolutely phenomenal. Okay, Mr. Collins, as I indicated just a little bit earlier, he has been nominated for Best Male Host in 2011 and also nominated for Best Show of the Year in 2011. Anthony currently hosts the Anthony and B-Fly radio show on Blog Talk Radio, which provides informative and thought-provoking topics that motivate their listeners to make a positive change in their lives. Anthony has also participated in relationship panels. He is actually known as a relationship panelist. As a man, he is open freely to sharing his life's experience, and I love that. As a single man, he provides precise male perspective for women. So, ladies, I want you to get your fingers ready to call in, 718-766-4227. He is also, tonight, I'm very, very, very happy to have him because he reminds me of me. Anthony has had all the joys and material possessions that life can give, and he has felt the pain of losing it all, risking his soul. Withstanding his shortcomings is how Anthony learned that life is outstanding. Does that not sound like what we talked about earlier today? Life is outstanding, not because my life is perfect, but because I choose to live in a manner that will not allow me to think in a negative way, says Anthony. And everyone, I want you to welcome Mr. Collins, Anthony D. Collins, to the True Purpose
Welcome back
show.
To the True Purpose Development.
Oh, and that was the wrong one. We want the applause.
How you doing?
I am doing fine, man, oh, man. I'm telling you, all kind of stuff happened before you came on the set. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. We're dealing with this up and down weather. I'm sure you know about that. But other than that, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am doing well and dealing with it the same. We have gotten hit again with some more snow, and I'm telling you, it took me a regular 20-minute drive coming home. Took me about an hour and 40 minutes today. So, I mean, there you have it.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, I had a patient this morning, and if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have left. I would not have left because this was a mess today. So how are you where you are today? You're doing well, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I'm doing great. I actually had an interview a few hours ago, so you're my last one for the night. So I had two yesterday, so I'm just trying to, you know, stay active out here and get the word out about me, and I appreciate you for having me on tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be hot. We've got, in the second hour, we have Momo B and I. We keep it real as only we can, and we may have Auntie join us tonight, who is always a joy and pleasure. But we're going to have a great conversation, and I cannot wait, first of all, to get into your book. Before we get real into it, you have a story, and I love it already because being positive is everything. You can choose to come out of this journey alive or dead, whichever one you want, but it's all a matter of how you look at it. So I want to know, who are you, and what did you go through to bring you here?
Well, just for the listeners who don't know, and they might just tune in now, my name is Anthony D. Collins. I started off just like any other regular person. You know, I was actually blessed all the way down, you know, from my childhood up to today. You know, I had both parents, my mother and my father, both set of grandparents, all the way up until I was 19. But somewhere along that journey, you know, I lost sight of loving myself. I built like a self-hate about myself. And it kept on going up until the age of 27 where I just got tired of feeling a certain way. I got tired of going to sleep for 7-8 hours and waking up and still feeling tired. So I started changing. I started evolving. I started self-reflecting at that age, but I still wasn't aware of exactly how to do it because I was so negative for so long. So what I had to do was retrain myself, retrain my thoughts, learn how to bring positive energy in my life. And at first it was hard, but as I kept on moving forward in that way, I started doing it. And then, but I remember, if you mentioned, like I mentioned before when we were on the other show, I had this thing about the reality factor. As I started seeing great things, I would reflect some of the bad things, and I would pull those bad things back into my life. So that's who I am. I'm a person that, like you mentioned when you introduced me, that, you know, I'm not perfect, but I choose to live a life that's outstanding. I go through daily challenges just like everybody every single day, but I choose to have a positive manner in everything that I go through.
Oh, my God, it's so terrific. What was one of the greatest challenges that you had to consciously make an effort to push past in your journey?
I had to realize that I had to let a lot of people go, you know, because I wasn't being me. I was being who everybody else wanted me to be, and they didn't even, and it wasn't their fault, but I was just adapting to my surroundings. It had nothing to do with them. They didn't force me to do anything, but I acted a certain way to be a certain individual in a certain crowd, if that makes sense. So
when the reality hit me
that this wasn't my, you know, my true alignment to this universe, then I had to sacrifice, or not say, maybe not even say sacrifice, I had to realize that I had to let these people go. And you know, and it was hard, you know, being the most popular person in the neighborhood in high school, and even after high school, that popularity has continued. And then once I realized that's not who I want to be, so to individually let each single one of them people go and to start over, you know, it's lonely. It's a lonely world. And I live by a quote by Dr. Omar Johnson that tells us, you know, a true spiritual journey is a lonely journey. And I live by that quote today.
That is so terrific. You know how difficult it is for people to have to make such a choice like that, let alone to realize that they need to make that choice.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of a show I did, and I called it, you cannot take off until you get the hijackers off of your plane. And sometimes people in our lives they're there for different reasons, and everyone's there for a season, but they're there for different reasons. And sometimes some of them are there just to see you make it to the top so they can try to just ride the tide. Some are there to pull you down. And some, you know what, I don't know if you have found this, those that you have let go, have you seen now that some of them, it's time for them to come back a little bit? You know, they can come back, but it's just in a different space in your life?
Absolutely. Ooh, wow, that's powerful. Man, you must, like, you must have a camera on my life, because that's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are re-entering my life, but it's at a different level. You know, it might just be on a business level or a very slight, frequent friendship level, but it's totally different, and they respect who I am now, and I also respect who they are. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Isn't that wonderful? So,
in
your experience, because I know when you say lonely walk, I know now you had to make a choice to let go of some people, but did some people let you go by misinterpreting what your journey was?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's also a hurtful thing, too, because you're like, man, so I didn't really do anything wrong to them, but I guess they recognized a sudden transition in me, and they wasn't relating to that, so they decided to, you know, exit out of my life as well. So it goes across the board. You have to let go of some people, and some people in return will also let go of you. And at first it's a shocker, like, wow, I actually thought this was my best friend. I thought this was my favorite uncle or my favorite brother, because what we have to realize sometimes is right in our own family that we have to make these decisions.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the biggest places that you end up being alone in. It's interesting, because I think life tries to give us a lesson that, hey, if you realize that you have to let go of your family member, how much more should you let go of somebody else that's not even your blood, you know? So,
absolutely.
Now, you're talking about relationship. Now, you know, that's my thing. I love to talk about relationships. And I know that you, in your life, life is outstanding. Do you talk about relationships in your book?
No, not specifically. I do have a chapter 6 which talks about love, but it's more so about loving yourself so that you can receive love from others. It's about, you know, really understanding what love is, because I think that is the root problem to what we're seeing out here in the universe and, you know, in any culture, that is so many divorces, there's so much disconnection among people, and that really reflects on who they are. They don't know how to fully love themselves. So I didn't specifically talk about relationships. I did do a shout-out to the men, because I know a lot of men out here, they think they know love, they love in different ways, and they get distracted by so many things. So I showed them how to center themselves and how to first know what they truly want. Don't sacrifice that for no one or anybody, and then go out and pursue love the way it should be pursued. So I did do that.
That's awesome. What inspired you to write the book? What inspired you? What was that aha moment for you?
For me, the aha moment was that I have to just let it out. I had to let my purpose and my passion out, meaning that for a long time, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been doing something that was called Anthony Thoughts. It's on my Facebook page, and it's just little random thoughts that I do, and it's really more so to help me. But what I realized, these testimonies was helping others, and I mean to a great capacity. I mean, I would get phone calls sometimes. Like, for example, I got a phone call from a brother from Virginia, I believe he lived in Virginia, and he was about to commit suicide, 2, 3 in the morning. And he thought I talked him down, but he talked so long on the whole conversation. All he was really needing is someone to listen to him. And safe to say, you know, I talk to him all the time now. He didn't commit suicide and stuff like that. Mm. So when I received that and accepted that, I said, you know, I want to do this in the simplest form. How about if I put all these testimonies of my life experiences and other people's life experiences who was willing to share them with me in one book? But not only that, make it even simple. Well, okay, if you're having problems with love, read chapter 6. If you're having problems with your attitude, read chapter 1. So that was my whole concept behind, you know, the project of Life is Outstanding.
Let's talk about your chapters, because I know there probably was a metamorphosis as you wrote each one. These things are inspired. You feel like it was just, it was so inspired that there was so much to learn in each chapter. So let's talk about, let's go on the journey with Anthony B. Collins. Chapter 1.
Absolutely.
Okay, chapter 1.
Chapter 1, attitude. And it's funny because when I started writing this book, now mind you, I have no experience in writing books. I don't know what I'm going, but it was a spirit, it was an energy that definitely took over me, because I sat in front of this computer and I set a goal. I said, all right, Anthony, I said, just write 30 minutes a night, at least. But those 30 minutes turned into 2 hours, 3 hours, and so have you. And it just started coming out of me. But I felt, for me personally, with chapter 1, I felt it all started there with my attitude, how I carried a negative attitude for so many years, up until the age of 27 to be specific. So I want to show people that I'm no different than no one else. I've had this negativity for quite some time, because I'm only 38 now. So I got to a fed up point, and I said, okay, it's time to change. How do I go about that? And I researched. I just didn't just think I was going to be able to figure it out. I researched. I went on a spiritual path, and I started finding this positive energy and kept building off that. And that's what I tried to show people in chapter 1, about how you recognize your negative attitude, and then you recognize that you need to change it, and then you seek the proper resources to do so, and then all of a sudden you bring on more of a positive attitude. So that's what chapter 1 covers.
Wow. So we've got the positive attitude going on. So the first thing you started to experience in your journey was the attitude adjustment, okay? I like to call it, some people, I like to say, it's the will of, life's will alignment on you, okay?
Yes.
You're on a journey, you're on a getting ready to set out on the road. Hey, you've got to get the will alignment in check and everything else. So now you've got your attitude, you're ready for the journey. So chapter two,
we're talking about energy. Now that, to me, is more of a scientific approach to understand how our body responds to negative energy and positive energy. And unfortunately, we have to overstand negative energy a whole lot to see what it does to us, to see how sick we can become if we worry so much, to see how much weight we will gain if we worry so much and if we keep and hold this negative energy, and how negative energy can be in your back, how it can be on your side, and it will really destroy your soul if you allow it to. So once you understand that, then you see how to bring on positive energy by saying positive affirmations. If you hug somebody and squeeze them tight, that brings a certain amount of positivity in you. If you go outside and just breathe the air, that brings positive energy to you. So those are some of the things that I talked about in Chapter 2 to give you a quite bit of understanding from a scientific aspect about energy.
Woo! You know, and you know, just to talk about energy, I don't know if you know, but I am a psychologist, and my practice is metaphysics. And so, of course, yes, energy is like, oh, everything. You can shift the room, and whether you're negative or positive. And a lot of, unfortunately, we allow subconsciously the negative energy to reign. Like, someone does something negative to us, and it's like, oh, my God. We can sulk in it. If we feel the negative, we're dealing with a negative experience in our lives, which it does come, it's supposed to come, because that's what brings us balance. How else will we know how it feels to be positive? So we go through this, but then we adopt it and marry it and act like that's just who we are. But we don't understand, neither do we grab hold of the concept of we have to let these things go, experience it, and move on. So now you change your attitude. You're feeling your energy, so you're connecting with the spirit inside. You're no longer like the walnut. You know. I always say people walking around like they're sucking on they've had the experience of a walnut, and they haven't even cracked the shell yet. So you've cracked the shell. You're tapped into the energy. Now you're talking about Chapter 3. What's going on?
And that's my imagination. That's when I really, really understood how important my imagination was, that I shouldn't suppress my imagination, that, you know, when you realize how great your imagination is, your life absolutely have no limit. It just has to be balanced and it has to be centered. So, for instance, for this book, I imagine me taking exactly 1 year to finish this book. I started last December, I finished, and it came out exactly 1 year. So that's the imagination I put towards this. So what does it take? It takes organized action and organized planning. Now, I love to put organized in front of action and planning and even work, because sometimes we'll be out here, we'll be taking action, we will be planning, and we do some work, but it's not organized. So you're really wasting your time. So it's important to make sure that these actions are organized.
And would you say, now this is something I found very critical, I'm going to take one day at a time, because the vision is always so much bigger than you. It can be overwhelming just thinking about it. And a lot of times what people try to do, and I don't know if you agree with this, but people, we want to be organized. We want to accomplish whatever it is that we want to accomplish. But we want to build Rome in a day. And you can't build Rome in a day. You can do it pretty fast, but you can't build it in a day. So once you've created the vision, would you not say that it was so important for you to take one day at a time, like just one day at a time? Like, don't look at the whole picture.
Absolutely.
How did they work for you?
Absolutely. What I tell people, and what I had to learn for myself personally, is that if you have a goal of 100 steps, it's the best example that I can give. You have a goal of 100 steps, and that 100th step is your goal, and you can only take a half step a day, a half step a month, or a half step a year. Do the best that you can, and never, ever compare yourself to anybody else, because Dr. Prince says you may be in a position where you can do a half step in a minute, and you'll be on your 100th step next month. But I shouldn't compare myself to you, because we're on a different path. So I have to walk my path. If it takes you 1 month and it takes me 1 year, that's okay. Just remember to stay on that path. Take your time. Appreciate the now. We'll talk more about that in Chapter 9, about how grateful you should be about the present, about the now. But it also is kind of reverent right now. We have to be able to appreciate where we are, take our time, and most definitely take one day, 1 minute, 1 second at a time.
Absolutely. Okay. So this is good. This is good. I love how you are it's like it takes you on a modulation. A person can probably, mm-hmm. Start reading chapter 1 and 8, and they go through this metamorphosis, the same one that you went through. Okay, so now we've talked about 4. Now what's 5? You've got your vision together. I call it, the vision, your imagination. You created your vision. That's so critical.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've created that vision, now what? What's chapter 5?
Well, actually, we just talked about chapter 3, so you want to go to chapter 4?
Yeah, chapter 4. Chapter 4.
I don't want to skip all of that. Okay, chapter... Now, chapter 4 was the law of attraction. And the reason I specifically did a chapter on this, because, some people say it's controversial, but I don't really think it's controversial at all. I really think it's really simple once you start to understand what's going on. And that's pretty much you attract what you think, you attract what you are, and you attract what type of energy that you put out here or what type of attitude you have. So you notice we talked about attitude, we talked about energy, and we talked about imagination. So I felt law of attraction should come after those 3 chapters. And basically, this is when I had an understanding on why my life was going the way it was prior to me understanding the law of attraction. When I thought back how I attracted and used to say I wanted 5 girlfriends at the same time, I had 5 girlfriends at the same time. When I kept having car problems because I kept putting so much energy into having car problems, I continued to have car problems. So just little examples like that made me and gave me a more of appreciation on how I was attracting these things in my life. And even today, when I said, just recently, I said, I want to meet some of the best business minds in the world. I want to talk to some of the most spiritual people in the world. And you will be amazed at some of the people that I've been able to meet who have the most busiest schedules in the world. And I was able to just simply pick up the phone, reach out to them, and they would return my call. Little old Anthony Collins from Chicago, and within 12 hours, and we connect and we share information on a daily basis. So you cannot tell me that if you put the proper energy out there, you will most definitely attract what you're looking for.
That is so awesome. And you know what? Once you realize and accept responsibility of the truth, that you are the one who created the situation that you continue to be in. And you have to accept the responsibility that you have the power to change it so that you can. You can apply and properly put in perspective your attitude, your energy, your vision. And now you have the law of attraction, and I don't know if you have accepting responsibility for your actions. I'm not sure. But let's talk about 5.
I wouldn't be on this phone with you if I had. Believe me. Believe you me. but yeah, let's go into chapter 5, and it's probably going to shock a lot of people who's listening. But this was my most difficult chapter because I'm gonna reveal what happened to me during writing this chapter. And this chapter 5 talks about persistence. That's the title of the chapter, persistence. Now, I was reading a book from Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, and one of the first things he talked about was the habit of quitting. And when he described what he felt the habit of quitting was, it hit me like a knife. Matter of fact, it cut me like a knife. And I realized, wow, Anthony, you have a habit of quitting. So imagine writing a book, a self-help book at that, and in the middle of the book, right in the dead middle, you realize that you have a habit of quitting. So what you think that's going to do to a person? Well, it kind of set me back a little bit, and I'm even explaining that I took a couple of days off from writing. I went into a meditative state. I came back rejuvenated, and I continued on. So what I did to overcome this habit of quitting, I said, Anthony, think about some things that you know you did give up on. So I wrote them out, and even if I wasn't interested in them anymore, I simply went back and found a solution for those things to bring closure to them. And some of them was old friendships. Some of them was old business relationships. Some of them things or goals that I just didn't finish, and I finished them, and then I put them to the side. But what that did for me, it gave me a self-confidence and a self-inner peace in myself to continue on and to finish this book.
Now, wait. What was the name of that chapter?
Persistence.
Persistence, yes. Wow. All right, so now you're persistent. Number 6, you know you're going to have to send me a book.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No, not a problem at all.
Oh, we have got this. I want you to come. We're going to have to fly you here to come on the show. I mean, that is just awesome. Okay.
Great. No problem.
Oh, absolutely. So let's talk about Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, Love. We talked about it briefly in the beginning when I came on, but Chapter 6, Love, and I'll rephrase it, it was pretty much basically showing any individual, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, to show you how to love yourself, you know, because a lot of times we all do this. We're so insecure about whatever we are, we got our fears, we have our imperfections, and we go out looking for love from outside sources when we should be looking for it in inwards. It should be coming from us first. We should know what love is. We should know how to look in the mirror. And I tell somebody, I say, can you go in the mirror and look yourself in the mirror and say, I love you? A lot of people have problems with that. Actually looking themselves in the mirror and saying, I love Anthony. I love Dr. Princess. People have problems doing that. They can't simply do that. So that alone should tell you something's wrong. Something's wrong. So what do? They run outside in the streets. They look at these reality shows. They get themselves all made up. They get these fancy cars and get these, you know, all this ice out stuff and things that we see. And they look for, and hope for people that are like them because of these things. But that has absolutely nothing to do with you. And I don't want people to, you know, I used to be that person. You know, I remember, as you mentioned, I had all this money. I was doing all these different wild things. You know, I was taking all these different cruises and all this other crap. I did that. So I know where people are at. That's why I'm so able to relate to it. But I'm telling you, once you come off that high, I don't care what age you are, you can start fresh and start over. I had a young man, I'm going to say young man, he was like 60-something years old. He emailed me. He said, brother, your daily posts have absolutely changed my life. This guy told me that he was an ice skater, and he gave up at about 40-something or something. And he said he started back ice skating, and he's about to go competing again. Can you imagine that? This guy is 60-something years old and told me that I inspired him to go back to ice skating because he used to be a champion, but he put it down for whatever reason. But at the age of 60-something, he inboxed me. Little old Anthony Collins out of Chicago, 38 years old, say, brother, you motivated me to get back on the ice, and I started ice skating and competing again. 60-something years old.
And you know it's possible because they had, it was a young lady, 75 years old. I always tell people I'm going to live to at least 120 and I'm going to be looking good, okay? I'm not going to be old. I'm going to be 120 and it's going to be all together, I'm telling you. So this young lady.
That's what's up.
I know that's what's up. 75. She's 75 years old. And she started bodybuilding she started working out and getting her body in shape at 56. And and she does her body. I mean, she looks good. Like, she
looks great.
So
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Exactly. She looks great. Yes.
I'm like, are you kidding
yes.
me? So, hey, that's my inspiration. Yes. I said, don't tell me I can't look good at 120. Okay, so people are living longer now. I mean, this is really touching me because, you know what, the chapters alone are inspiring. Just the titles alone are very inspiring. Okay, so now we've covered love. Loving yourself, which is so amazing. And you know what else, though, too? Love is what I have found, that without love, you cannot make it to that nirvana state of being, if you would, to that highest place, that place and limit beyond in your life. It cannot happen. You have to have love, and it's so critical. And love for yourself is priority. So what happened in Chapter 7? Now, I do have to ask you this. When you begin to, when you were talking about love, I didn't hear you say anything about relationships, a female relationship. Did you grow or you have some type of experience with a relationship?
Yes, of course. I've had experiences with them being in a relationship. I've never been married, but of course I've had an experience of being in a relationship. And I spoke of it a little bit from a man's perspective, just letting men know that a lot of times, you know, we work on our insecurities that I mentioned about just anybody in general, but specifically men. We hide our insecurities, and we do that by seeking out different women at the same time or whatever the case may be. And I was trying to show them how to pull themselves out of that and the responsibility we have to take when you talk about emotional ties. And I also added a portion that you don't necessarily have to be intimate with every woman that you date. If you're dating, just be honest, and you don't have to be intimate with each one, because that doesn't do nothing but give you an extra emotional tie that we all know. I'm sure you know, by being a metaphysics specialist, that, hey, that'll bring you down.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So after you connected with this love, what was next? What's number seven?
Chapter seven, I talked about money. I went love, money, and power. So chapter seven is talking about money, because I think, first thing off the bat, we all need a certain amount of money. But what I wanted people to understand, that money is a piece of paper. It's our attitude that determines if we're happy or not with money or without it. You know, I've seen people without money live very successful and happy lives. I've seen people with plenty of money, and they're completely miserable. So my point to that is that money is not the problem. We're the problem. Money is just, you know, it's not even an energy. It's just a piece of paper. They print it every single day. That's why I tell people, I get so confused with this so-called debt when it's printed every day. But that's
right.
A whole other show. But point blank, I just use examples in chapter seven, telling people how you have to have a certain type of attitude with or without money. Now, for you and me, let's say you have a goal that you want to say, I want to make $500,000, and I say I have a goal, I want to make $200,000. We don't have to compete against each other for us to make those goals, and that's a misconception that we have because of main media. Mainstream media, mainstream radio makes us feel like we have to compete for everything. They want you to buy a new car every 3 months. They want you to get a new cell phone every 6 months. Everything is competition, insurance and mortgages. No, I can help Dr. Princess achieve her goal of making $500,000, and she can also help me achieve my goal of making $200,000 with organized action and organized plan. Money is about attitude.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know what? I tell people this too. It doesn't make you happy, just like you said, but it also is something that it's wonderful to have. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
And you should love the money. You can love it, because if you don't, I don't know about you, but law of attraction, again, if you are not treating it right, not doing right by it, don't have the right perspective about it, why would it come to you? There needs to.
Absolutely.
Because
you don't
appreciate it.
And that's a great point that you brought up, because it's also a spiritual side about embracing money. You know, just like you meant,
yes.
Have love for your money, respect your money, know what to do with it, and you know, invest in yourself. I tell people all the time, if you're not willing to invest in yourself, why would anybody invest in you?
Right, and why when you're saying money come to me, why would it come? Because
exactly.
That is brought to us under the law of attraction, like you said. You know. So,
yes.
Wow, this is going, I mean, I'm going through the chapters and I felt inspired to do that tonight. But before we do 8, 9, and 10, because I know it's going to be powerful, and we're getting ready just at the top of the hour, for those of you who are listening on the TJRS Radio Network and also here on BG Radio, just at the top of the hour, we have Keeping It Real with the Doc and Momo B. And tonight we are talking about, of course, relationship, but is your kindness taken as a weakness? How does it work for you in relationship? I'm telling you, there is something about that. I'm telling you. And I had a situation last night on the TJRS Radio Network where I guess I was just too nice to a caller who had something fancy to say to me. And no one could understand why I was so nice, and they thought it was weak. They really thought I was weak. And you know what? We're going to talk about it tonight, because it's
wow.
So much power. Yeah, so much power in being kind. It's so much power in reciprocating with love always, because trust me, life handles its business when it needs to. You can believe that. So
absolutely.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a real brief break. We're going to get ready, because
okay.
I still want to talk to you, because we still have like 3 more chapters to go. I want to talk about what's going on with you next. We're going to find out from Mr. Anthony D. Collins. We are so happy that you are here today, because I think that what you're doing and what you're speaking about is powerful. So everyone, don't go anywhere. We will be right back in a moment with Anthony D. Payne.
Dear parents, much of what we learn in this world comes directly from you.
Whatever your message is, it will become part of us forever.
Please teach us to accept one another. Teach us to respect one another. Please, do not fill our minds with hatred. Do not expose us to bigotry.
Do not teach us to judge each other
by race,
religion,
orientation, or the color of our skin.
Teach us the concept of tolerance.
Teach us to understand one another.
Teach us to accept people
of different cultures
and persons with different beliefs than yours.
Please help us to create a world
where every man, woman, and child is treated equally.
Dear parents,
please don't teach us words of hate. We learn from you every moment. If you use certain words
which might be hurtful to others,
we will repeat that word. Please don't show us acts of hate.
If you act against people of different faith,
we will repeat your actions.
Dear parents, we are your children.
And we are relying on you
to help us create a world where every person is tolerant of one another.
Hey, you guys, this is Dawn Robinson from En Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and I'm so happy and so proud to be a part of the World Peace True Purpose Movement. It's really something that the world needs right now because there's so many people that are downtrodden, and they don't believe in themselves anymore. They don't believe in government. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in anything out there, and they need to look to themselves. And so what you guys are doing with this movement is so special because it's very strong. It's very supportive of people, and it just reminds them of how strong they really are. And yes, I can do this. Yes, I can persevere. And the short time that we have on this planet, I can do something great with my life, and I'll be okay. You know, it's like a voice of reason out there that just says to them that everything's going to be all right. So I really am proud to be a part of this.
Well, hello, Miss Regina Waller.
Hello.
First of all, I want to thank you for taking the class, Credit and Business Development course, offered by Bountiful Opportunities Group. And I would love to hear about your experience here in the class. So I want to ask you just a few questions about this. How have you enjoyed the Credit and Business Development course?
Oh, Princess Odelia, how this course changed my life. I came in with a credit score of 525, and I'm leaving with a credit score of 7.0. Hallelujah. Yeah.
How long have you been taking this class?
Maybe 4-5 weeks now.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
In that amount of time, nearly 200 points, your credit score has increased.
Yes.
And what would you say attributed to that increase?
I would say the knowledge that you gave me, which I never known anything about until the second week of this class.
Now, you had some interesting things that took place when you went to implement the concept and the knowledge that was given to you in the class. Would you like to share some of that?
Yes. My credit union, whom I've been dealing with for maybe 20 years now, they booted me out the office saying, okay, we'll take care of this. 3 weeks later, no answer. I went to the bank. The representative in the back, she said, you know, it wasn't no such thing. I said, well, I refuse to leave because I know what you told me and what I learned in this course and what to say. And I used that knowledge with that representative, and you taught me how to be my own bank. And I thank you for that. And I just hope it's very successful in the future for other people to come in and get the same reward that I have.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
Well, well, welcome back. I am so very much enjoying my conversation, if you would, with Mr. Anthony D. Collins. And Anthony, we have a few moments left, and I want us to just share a little bit about chapters 8, 9, and 10. And for those of you who are just listening, Mr. Anthony D. Collins is the author of the book, Life is Outstanding. And we've been having an outstanding time as we have gone through the process with Mr. Collins on his book, the development of the book, how it impacted his life as well, and I'm just enjoying it. So, Mr. Collins, let's continue.
Chapter eight.
Before we go, we have to tell people what we were talking. The other chapter. So, for those of you who have just tuned in, this is a recap. Chapter one is attitude. Chapter two, energy. Three, imagination. Four, law of attraction. Five, persistence. Six, love. Seven, money. And eight?
Chapter eight is power. Chapter eight, I talk about first how we all have a unique way and we all have a sense of power. We all have our own type of power. We just got to know how to channel it and what we're going to do with that power. What are you going to do with the other power that you have? Are you going to use it for bad or are you going to use it for good? Mm-hmm. I can say I've been on both sides of the fence. I had a certain amount of power that people would say when it came to the streets, coming out of high school, and I used that power for the wrong reasons and all the wrong things. But luckily, I was unscathed in that time. I didn't do any jail time. I didn't hurt anybody or anything of that nature. So I was one of the lucky ones. So now today, with my power, I accept the responsibility to help others, more than I help myself. I support other people's work sometimes more than I support my own work. But this has given me, I know it's my purpose. I know this is why I'm here. It's my passion. I love to see when people accomplish their dreams, and especially if it's something that I was able to do to help them physically, spiritually, emotionally, or financially, then I'm all for it.
Woo! That is awesome. So power, so would you say it's like power and accepting responsibility? We were talking about accepting responsibility, too, so that's
what you're going.
Absolutely, and the responsibility that you have as a result of the power that you have. And that's what I think some people don't understand. Because we have so much power. We have to be able to channel that and do something with it. I mean, and not to use it negatively. Because the negative forces, I'm telling you, you weren't on the show yet, but I was talking about I had a situation with some haters, a group of haters, and it was actually very hurtful, my experience with them, and it was a business situation. And every time I would go into, I sit on a few boards, and I would go into the board meeting, and the energy from this one person would just shift the room of the group with the group of people that she had collaborated with. And I would see them talking under their breath about me and looking at me. And just, it was so negative. Other people who had no knowledge of what I was experiencing because I didn't voice it ever, they would mention it to me because the energy was so strong in the room you could cut it with a knife. And I hadn't done anything to this person, nothing. And at one time it got so to the point because I'm not the type, I'm not going to go up in front of you and do all that. Because, I mean, what am I going to do that for? I know that I have power to manage that whole situation and don't even have to be in the room with you. I could be at home and still managing that situation. I get it. So, but I was sitting there not doing anything. And when I thought about it, I said, now, wait a minute. I don't have to walk up to her and boss her up and do all of that to be active and to take responsibility of the power that I have. So let me send her some love. So I visioned all of the people, her and her little crew, being just wonderful and nice with me. Because I have a tendency to not care. I don't even care. I'm not losing sleep over it. But it's my responsibility, if I understand how to operate love or how to change the situation to modify it to something that is more beneficial where we all can gain, why not do that? It's my responsibility.
Absolutely.
So I decided, I was in a meeting one day, and they were doing it again, and I just, not looking at them, but I was, man, I was putting all kind of love and peace and keeping, I was canceling negative thoughts and picturing a peaceful scenario between us and everything. You know that situation shifted before. I don't even know how. It shifted so fast, I don't know how. It was so quick.
Wow.
I talked
That's
about
great.
That. You can't sleep on your haters because we have so much power. I cannot wait to mm-hmm. read your book. Everybody, you guys need to get this book. We're gonna find out where to get it to. Okay, so now, number nine
is gratitude, and now this I would have to admit is my most favorite chapter, and I can now we can talk about when I was saying, you know, we gotta appreciate the now. This chapter is when I wrapped all the first eight chapters up. I just took a setback, and I was just so grateful where I was in my life at this absolutely moment. And so I had to just title this chapter Gratitude, you know, and we have to understand how to be grateful for now, how that I'm so grateful that I'm on your show right now. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do after your show. I'm not thinking about what happened an hour ago or yesterday. I'm appreciating right now. And a lot of times, because of this microwave society that we live in, you know, we don't have an opportunity to just sit down, take a couple of deep breaths, and just appreciate where you at now. If you're just sitting at the kitchen table and, you're looking over a little paperwork or you're talking to your kids, appreciate that moment. So that's what gratitude, the chapter nine, was talking about, just showing people how to appreciate the now, showing people how to, you know, continue to help others before you help yourself, and how important that is for any type of success in your own life. You have to be able to pay it forward or be willing to help others. And normally, for me, is when I was having my low energy days and I was having not such a good day. What pulled me out is when I gave gratitude to others, when I had the attitude of gratitude. You know, I was being grateful that I was able to help others by any means within my means. And then that pulled me out of my low-energy day and made it a high-energy day. So, yes, Chapter 9 is a very powerful and one of my favorite chapters.
And that's, I interviewed somebody who wrote a book, Thank You. That was the name.
I like that.
Thank you. Yes. And, boy, there's a book, it's a book of people saying thank you about some things that you would never think they would be thankful for. You know, even down to somebody dying of cancer and thanking life for the experience that they had as a result of the death of the family in it. And you're right. That's like so much a key of it. We have to be grateful. We have to be grateful. And so now we're at the grand finale, Chapter 10.
Yes. Yes. Mm. You call it grand finale. I say Chapter 10 is the results. That's the chapter. It's called The Results. And basically all I simply did is took all nine chapters and said, where are we at now? I said, if you were one of the ones that, you know, went along with me along this journey and you read my book all the way up until this point, what are your results from reading my book? Well, I'm going to share some of my experiences on writing this book. And I gave plenty of examples of why my life is outstanding. And that's pretty much, I can sum it up just that quick, because it was just pretty much, you know, we took this journey together. Thank you for taking this journey with me. But what are the results of this journey that you've taken with me? What have you pulled out of this book from taking this journey with you? I can give you by example what I've taken out of writing this journey. So that's pretty much what Chapter 10 is focused on, the results of the first nine chapters.
Wow. Just having you to recap and to admonish where you've been and how it has had such a great impact on one's life. It's so amazing.
Absolutely.
So you have to tell us, where can we find your book and where are you going to be next, how we can find you every week? Give us all the goods.
Absolutely. You can get my book at anthonydcollins.com/book. It's also on Kindle and Amazon. It's also on Barnes & Noble. It's also on authorhouse.com. To keep track with me, I have an upcoming events page on my website, anthonydcollins.com, so you can definitely just click on that page and it'll keep you updated on what's coming up next. I also am a radio host myself. I have the Anthony and B-Fly Show on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We have great topics. We always doing spotlighting entrepreneurs or spotlighting authors, so check that out. I believe anyone that's listening to this network would enjoy that as well. And that's about it. That's about it.
That is awesome. That's amazing, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are supposed to be on live just in a moment here with Momo B, and she is late, and not usually, so I'm not sure what's going on with Momo B. I just talked to her just a little while ago. So we're going to take a break, but if you want to hang out with the ladies, you are more than welcome to, and if you have to go, I understand. And I also, before we go, you know what I want to say to you? I love how you state to overstand. I love that. Where did that come? Where did that derive?
That just came. That's a personal theory of mine. If anyone who purchased the book, you'll be able to read, you know, I got the end of the book, which I call, you know, overstand theory. And basically what I'll do, I'll just actually read it from the book. Why not? Overstand theory. Throughout our wonderful journey, instead of using understand or understood, I replaced the word under with over. It's my belief we have been understanding things way too long. Under means lower level than something that rests on top or covers and protects. I feel we should be on top of things as far as information and other important life circumstances. I believe putting positive affirmations into our wonderful universe and our subconscious is very important to our daily progression. Overstanding this is a word I use to help us all look at things differently. I'm sure a lot of English scholars would disagree with me about this, but I overstand that English is a language where a lot of words were taught to us in order to misguide our energy source. This is my way of changing our thoughts together, which by now we all realize will change our lives for the better. That's my overstand theory.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And that's so true. We do not realize the power in our words. And I think just like you, I really believe that even the creators were conscious themselves, but in efforts to keep us under the rules and the things that the doctrine that was to be taught to us, we were just, they gave us what they needed to give us to keep us with a certain mental perspective about things. And I'm so grateful that you did that. That's awesome. I want to thank you, Mr. Collins, for coming on the True Purpose Development Show.
Thank you. We definitely going to have to stay in touch and stay tuned. We got each other information. So, man, please keep me informed, and I will definitely do the same for you. I'm going to listen on speaker, but I do have to go pick up my daughter, so I won't be able to stay on live, but I will be listening.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We are so happy. That is Mr. Anthony D. Collins.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Take it easy. All
right. Wow. Wasn't it awesome? Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, it's time for Keeping It Real with the Doc and Momo B. And Momo B, I think she's on the beach somewhere because she has not called in on the show. We're going to still go on with the show. We've got a text out to her. We've got an APB out for Momo B. I'm going to thank everybody that's listening on the TJRS Radio Network and those, of course, who are listening right here on BG Radio. We're going to have fun tonight. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a few songs. We've got a great lineup tonight, some great music. You know how we do it. Entertainment and music, that's the way it is. Our first song we're going to listen to is Let It See, Stay Together, one of my favorite songs. We've got Rich Sister there. I see you. We'll be right back after this wonderful song by Let It See, one of my favorites. Yeah.
You know I love you, right? I love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Share it built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Oh,
stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around. That's right. You stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
I know whatever comes our way.
Wanna give you, make you love to you.
Together. Rich sister, rich sister, rich sister.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Momo, my sister, I think she was on the beach earlier, and I think she's asleep or something. I don't know what she's doing. But she's not on the show. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You're doing good. Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Momo, she must have, I don't know, what Momo and Auntie and I were talking a little bit earlier. And I know that, I don't know, I think she was just hanging out.
Oh.
Because
I know she wasn't, she was kind of feeling under the weather.
Oh, was she? Oh, that's right.
Well,
she had reunited.
Last night, she said she wasn't feeling well.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Well, she was feeling okay today. We talked. We did.
Okay. Okay.
Well, how are you?
Yeah, by last night. Huh?
Oh, you listen to the show last night?
Well, I listened live for like just the first like 30 minutes, and then I caught the rest in the archive.
Oh.
I went to last night, so I watched the. When I do that, I'll listen to the first 30 minutes, and then I'll listen to the rest when I get home.
Mm. So you heard when the lady called me out my name?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. What did you think about my response? And here she is. She knows I'm out here in the airwaves talking about it. I'm sending out energy. We just had a wonderful conversation with Mr. Anthony D. Collins. And we're talking about the law of attraction and energy. And I just sent out that energy to my sister. And now she just popped up on the call. Hello, sister. Sister? I don't know.
Well, hold on, wait a minute. No, don't give me the attitude. Don't give me the attitude. Because I called RJ Rao's show. I called RJ Rao line and had my hand up and nobody ever came. So I said, oh, shoot, let me call on the other number. And I called the other number. And now here we are. I'm like, oh, I don't know what number you on. Don't be mad at me.
Yeah, multiple. And she be playing those musical numbers. Well, you got to figure out what number she at.
Yeah, I called that other one and nobody answered. I had my hand up waiting. Don't get me wrong, I was late. But I was over there with my hand up. I knew you was talking about me. Oh, my sister. I was like, oh, shit, she's talking about me. I said, let me call the other number. I called the other number, and now here I am.
Here I am, baby.
Yes.
Right back in your arms.
Yes! Oh, I'm so mad because I want to hear the Anthony Collins thing. That's my boy. And I miss it. I miss all of it. I miss everything, too. Well, let me tell you, I'm recuperating, Richard, and thank you for sticking up for me. Thank you, Richard, for sticking up for me. I am recuperating. So,
oh, yeah,
yes.
Right.
I remember you said it last night that you weren't feeling well.
Yeah, I was last night down and out. I was down for the count. They lucky I called in that. I was down and out. I was drowning on right on the set. I was like, oh Lord, I can't make it. I always get you know, like up and excited when that show come on, but I was like, oh my God. My daughter said, don't you got a show tonight? And that's the only reason why I remember. I was like, what's tonight? I said, oh yeah. God Almighty, if she wouldn't have said that, I would have forgot all about it. Just like she came in here tonight. It's like, don't you got a show? I was like, oh, man, what day is it?
That was the New Year's Eve.
What happened? Well,
I'm messing with you. I'm saying that was the repeat of New Year's Eve.
Now listen. Rich sister was getting ready to tell what she thought about my response to the slander last night.
Wait, where's my auntie? Is she on the line?
Hold on. Let me go back to the screen. Oh yeah, she is here. Sorry.
Thank you.
We are not bringing family rivalry up in here. Okay, wait. Hi, Auntie.
Hello. Hi, honey.
Hey.
Hi, Miss Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I like Miss Rich. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Rich. Auntie,
I'm
going to
be rich.
I want to be rich.
Okay, no, okay,
I want
to
be.
Miss Rich was
getting okay,
ready.
Okay, now we're all here. Live in the color. Yeah, we all here.
Let's
now. Let's
do this.
We're here to show.
I know
and I don't think Miss Rich really want to talk about, elaborate on last night. She don't want to get caught up in that, just in case homegirl listens. But I don't have no problem with it, because I don't even know her.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you know, I just say what I got to say. I think she was doing wrong.
Well, how about you start first?
Richard said, how about you start first?
Yeah.
No,
that's how you feel.
Billy ain't trying to get in that.
No, you ain't ready to say. I am so curious to hear what you're going to say. I'm so curious.
Yeah, what you got to say, Richard, sir?
Well, I was thrown off. I didn't think she was going to ask me about that. Hopefully it's been forgotten. Go ahead. I mean, because I really don't even remember. I really don't even remember to the Zach how you responded to her, really. But it just seemed like she was just out of line. Period.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't even want to personally give it the energy. I mean, why?
Daddy,
yeah, well,
I agree.
That's
I mean,
right.
Why?
Energy. What? Don't
even
think
it.
Yeah, for me.
She was out of line. I mean,
yep.
That's the only reason why I'm thrown aback that you even mentioned it. I mean, just
right.
Whatever.
Yes, and you know what? I was telling Momo, my sister, earlier, and telling Auntie earlier that they thought I should have been more responsive, and I said I just didn't. Life would take its course in that situation. What is there to say? I mean, obviously she has some kind of issue going on. I haven't done anything to her, and so long as I know I didn't do anything to her, I'm good. I mean, hey, it is what it is. But the reason I brought it up tonight is because that's what a lot of times people think kindness is weakness, and especially in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to talk about, in a relationship where you have a man or you a woman, somehow people even have cliches where they say the nice one always ends up on the low end of the totem pole. We always end up on the low end. And you end up, people think you're weak.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. But it's not only in relationships. It's in life, too. Life, whether you are a man, a woman, or a female, or just a children, too, the same thing happens. Me and some of the same thing every day. She comes like, sometimes you can speak up for yourself, and that's what I try to tell you today is when you don't speak up for yourself. The same way my daughter always jumping in somebody else's conversation or somebody else's business, and no, you can't do that. And I'm trying to tell her, mind your business. But that's the same way she feels that if such and such, whoever it is, don't speak up for themselves, it's gonna be worse than tomorrow. It is. And that's why I said to you, if you were to put that lady in her place today, you wouldn't have to worry about her calling the show at the note of the time. And
next Wednesday.
Right now. Yeah. I'll see next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, she'll try it again.
The ending.
Yeah.
Because that's how things blow on and repeat themselves. My daughter, you can't tell. You can't. It ain't going to happen. And it ain't going to happen to me either. Once is enough. That's it. I'm fed up. That's it. Because it don't take long for me to go. She was out of line. We are bigger people. Yes. I know all that. However, the same 1-2 punch you would have gave me, I would give the same 1-2 punch back. That would have been the end. Maybe I wouldn't have to go extra. You know, like I always want to go extra. But maybe I wouldn't have to. The bottom line is, you're not going to come here in my playground and disrespect me. That's what you're not going to do.
No.
You are. If you're my pair, if you're my man, if you're my co-host, I don't care who you are. It really don't matter to me who you are. You're not going to do it. So I could voice my same opinion, whether it's to my child, whether it's to my man, whether it's to my sister or my brother. Well, I don't care who it's
to. Somebody get it.
We together. Nobody's above me.
Soda?
I don't see nobody above me. Nobody. So when we get together and we have this showdown, it's just me and me and me. Me, myself, and I. So when I'm going at somebody, it's not because I think I'm better than anybody or because I sure don't think anybody's better than me. My thing is, you said something wrong to me, and I got to stand up for myself. So if you can still stand up for yourself, personally, and not come out of line or out of your character or play yourself or disrespect yourself, it's just disrespecting you. Because some people think that, if I stoop to her level by saying the things that she say or come, then I'm bringing myself down. You're not bringing yourself down. I never thought of that. Some people say that I'm stooping to her level. I'm stooping to her level. I don't believe in stooping to level. Yes, I believe in standing up for yourself.
It ain't okay. It's not okay.
And if you down there, and I have to get down there to get at you, then guess where I'm getting?
Yeah.
Right on down there. That's just me. That's just my
And you know what? But
that way,
you know what?
She won't come at you again.
That's right. And you know
what?
I
believe she's coming again next Wednesday.
How do you make a happy medium?
And I hope you'll be ready for her.
But how do you make a happy medium between being that nice person,
she
putting
got
her foot down to the point? Because I appreciate that. Because that is true. She did disrespect me. Absolutely.
She's coming again. Trust.
I'm sure she will. I'm sure she will.
Yeah, because you didn't respond to her like she wanted.
Well.
She's going to tag you again.
But guess what? This is what I also feel.
Sad.
Every time I try to go to, like, okay, kind of like migrate to what you guys are saying, I also see another positive opportunity here. Because my thing is this. She can come back and eventually, I do. I just think eventually, because I really don't care. I'm thinking, okay, she's going to come back, and I'm sure she will, and I'm still going to be the same. I remain constant of who I am. I am who I am. When she comes with that stuff, I'm going
to
say, it's not stooping to her level. You're stupid. I don't want
to
give
you
her energy. And you said it right. You said it right, Rich. I don't want to give. I don't even think about it hard enough to say that I'm even constant, consciously saying, oh, I don't want to give her energy. It's not even that deep. It's just simply who I am that I'm thinking, you know what, I already realize who she is.
What I'm trying to tell you is you don't want to give her energy. Energy to do what? She was on the show. She was disrespecting you, and she kept doing it. She kept on the whole show. She kept jumping in, even after the show.
Shut
she
her
was
up.
Right there. Da, da, da. If you would have nipped that in the bud by coming back at her, she wouldn't have been on that.
She
would have
shut up.
She would have stuck around. She would have dropped that line so fast and went by her business. You wouldn't have to worry about her no more. So what we would have been doing, instead of saying, sister, my sister, you should have done this, we would have just been sitting there laughing. We've been laughing.
Yeah, it wasn't right.
All the rest of the show. That's what
wasn't
we would have been doing. It would have been no show today about me and you
they
and her.
Wrong.
It would have been no call. It would have been nothing. We would have just been here tonight. If we wanted to bring that up and laugh about it, we would have laughed about it. But we would have been talking about, oh, what you should have did, what you should have did, what you should have did. Ain't nobody ever had to tell me after nothing what I should have did because I did what I had to do every time. You don't tell me what I should have did because I then did it. So that's it. Every time you probably say, only thing you say to me is, well, Mo, maybe you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have went that far. That's the only thing I hear. But you're not telling me what I should have did about the
situation. Some guys got off on
I'm
that, you know. I didn't appreciate those guys. They really, they enjoyed that, and that was wrong. It was dead wrong. And they shouldn't have even been, they should have muted that. That's what they should have did.
Now, that's what I thought.
Because that wouldn't even
have
stopped it. Attack nobody.
You're right.
Uh-oh.
They were wrong.
Auntie's over the topic. Auntie's over the topic. Cause she called
yeah, because I didn't get a chance to express my feelings and my opinion
about the topic.
How I acted for man, but I know that's the right man and all that mess. I didn't get a chance to speak on that, spell on that at all. And I was upset about that. They come up this little bull crap about you a heifer and shut up. Where'd that come from? Heck. What the heck you talking about? We grown people. You don't say that to no other grown person. Who are you? You know, you have kids. She have probably got kids. So go tell your kids in the background to shut up and to call them a heifer. Nobody gonna be disrespecting no one and don't even know them. You didn't even say nothing for her to even come at you. You just talking in general. You were talking to her. You was talking in general. That's the part I couldn't get with her. Yeah, like it was personal. It wasn't personal. Everybody was just having a reminiscing, a regular conversation, like grown adult people. And she come up with this whole stupid ghetto mess. Talking about, hey, shut up. You're a heifer. She said, yeah, you know. Yeah, well, nothing right about that. And the guys thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing funny about nobody being stupid. You know, they got it twisted. It's a time to laugh and it's a time not to laugh. She should have been muted. And simple as that. That's the bottom line. I mean, it would have been my show and letting someone disrespect and attack someone. That ain't what we're trying to do here. We're trying to talk about different topics and just bring things out to the front line and just try to see how get everybody's opinion and feelings about different things. That's what I'm thinking this is about. I won't waste my time tuning in if I'm going to deal with mess like that. Because that's drama. That's stupid kid drama.
Mm-hmm.
We are not in school. We are grown peoples. You know, if she haven't grown up, then she need to grow up. She didn't need the one that need to shut up and get off the air.
Mm.
I mean, you know, God, you know, but, I can't believe them guys. They ate that up, man. Dang, I hope they got off on it.
No,
they still act like they did.
Okay, so Auntie, I have a question. What do you think? Why don't you answer the question that Day asked last night? What do you think? How do you know you have met the right one? How do you know that?
Well, I was on, like, I've been on Tag for dating. I had a lot of dating sites, but I was on Tag for about going on 2.5 years. And I was just, like, going through, just checking, deleting, and all that kind of stuff. But this one particular man came on, and he wrote, and everybody writes you different stuff, but this particular man came on, and he wrote me something deep. I said, whoa. And it really, you know, I connected with him, and I saw that he was getting on this private jet. I saw him sitting there drinking his cocktail. I said, I thought, see what's up. Something about him and what he wrote me was totally different from everybody else writing me all that mess. His stuck out. So that I had to get into, I said, let me get his phone number, give him my phone number, let's exchange and see what's going on. And we've been communicating now for 1.5 years, and I like him. And the mother guy, it was a turnoff. And I said, well, you know, I think we're trying to go somewhere with this, and it works for me.
You have an online love.
I just connect with someone that's that can afford me. He can afford me, because like I said, I'm not looking for no how you say it? I'm not looking for no zero. I'm looking for a hero right now. I'm not looking for love. I'm looking for money right now. Survivor. You know, and I'm tired of being sick and tired. So I said, I'm about to get someone that can afford me, change my mind and change my way of thinking and you know, and get with the program. I'm tired of struggling. And I'm tired of poverty and all that stuff. And so if you got somebody willing to bring you out of all that stuff, then you need to get with that person. Because you can run into all these people. You got, you might be connecting with somebody that might be bipolar. They might be mental challenged. They might be a serial killer. You know, it's kind of hard to know what you're really connecting yourself with, what you really think you found. You might didn't find nothing. You might find a zero. Somebody living from paycheck to paycheck. Somebody living from day by day. I mean, you want somebody a little higher level than you that you don't have to help them, but you want them to help you. And you will have a better relationship, because the biggest thing with a relationship, you argue about the money and the bills when you're together in the one house. The conversation all the time is about the freaking bills until it breaks up the relationship, and everybody ends up going rocky bye-bye. Mm-hmm. But if you got somebody to have more than you, you're not going to argue about that subject.
That's right.
And you'll stay together, because that's not an issue. You have more than enough. But you're talking about two broke niggas. Shit, you got a problem. You got an argument. Every day, money, money, money. Bills, bills, bills. To get around that, you need to find somebody that have a little more than you, a little extra. And that's the one you need to roll with. You know, so like I said, forget about the love. Right now I'm about survival. And somebody going to bring something to my table, but not take nothing from it. I can't afford it, put it that way. I choose not to do it.
But see, that's what a lot of women nowadays.
For 30 years, me and my husband worked together, but that was just like paycheck to paycheck mess. We both made good money, but it wasn't nothing beyond where I didn't have to work two jobs. I had to work two jobs. I'm trying to find someone where I don't have to work no job. You know, and be happy. You know,
right.
I'm getting older here. I'm not getting younger. It's time for me to be happy. And to be happy, I got to get someone that can afford me. And
amen.
I can go out and enjoy life. I can see the beauty of what God has created. It's, I've been in and out of the Caribbean and all these countries. It's beautiful. But to really enjoy that, you want to spend when you get there, too. I didn't have all no money to spend. I went some places, but I went with a broke nigga. We couldn't really enjoy ourselves because we both didn't have much. But I want to be somebody just I can go there and shop until I drop when I go to no places. Yeah, I've been to a lot of places. But where was the money? Shit, even on the cruise, where was the money? It was terrible. Because I didn't have it like the mother lady sitting there. They had it. The men could afford them. They was buying up something. I couldn't buy like that. But I went.
Mm-hmm.
So big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted stuff. But we couldn't afford it. So, yeah, so it was no great big vacation for me. Because we were scheming in there. They was poor. And we scheming in their country poor too. You know, faking the funk, faking it. I don't want him. I didn't want him because he can't give me what I really need and want.
But
I
want to
go there with some real money when I go.
But Auntie, let me ask you this question. How do you know,
okay.
though? How do you? Okay. Now, Rich is what? Hold on. No, I want Rich sister to answer this. I know she didn't answer this last night too. Rich sister, how do you think you know that you have found the right one? The one.
I didn't get a chance to answer this last night, but it's just something that you, I would take it that you would just really know deep down in your heart. It wouldn't be no question. I mean, I can't fully explain it because I sure ain't found the one yet. So,
me neither.
But it's just one of those things. That connection is gonna be there. See, you ain't gotta see when you gotta worry about background checks and asking 50 million questions and practically stalking someone. They ain't the one. I mean, it's like it should be almost like a connection of the souls, like the Bible says, and the two shall become one.
Yeah, that's
the Bible
when you get
talks
married,
about
though.
And but I'm just saying,
married,
you should even in like the dating process and the courting process, you should
get it like
feel
that
oneness. Coming together.
Yeah.
You feel like this ain't, you know, like I said, my issue is you got too many situations where the two want to remain two. Then that ain't the one if you want to stay separate in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
You should feel that oneness, even in the dating and the courting process, that oneness, you should feel that oneness coming together.
Go ahead, Richard.
But if you find yourself one to stay separate and stay two, that ain't the one then.
That ain't the one. Mm-mm.
That's the way I see it.
See, I love that.
I agree with you on that.
That is so true. That's what I was trying to say. And it doesn't have to be a long time because you're going to feel it. And like you said, it's a soul connection. That's what I think. It's like... it's a soul connection. You automatically connect. It's like life actually causes for the scenario to work, even when you feel it couldn't work. I mean, it's just, it's a soul connection. Oh. It's deeper than yourself.
Yeah,
well,
my husband for 30 years. And I met him for 7 months.
I can't take it.
So that worked. 7 months, 30 years.
Auntie,
you found your soulmate. Yes, you did. And,
yeah, I went
and
with him
I
7 months,
it.
And this man was everything that I was really looking for out of a man. He just was it. And all the other guys was not it. I wanted someone going to work with me. I wanted someone that want what I wanted and had the same mind frame that I had. I wanted someone that loved God, loved his parents, helped his parents because I was going to still continue to help mine if I was with him or not. But we was on the same page. So I said, well, hey, let's do this. We did it in 7 months. He wasn't in New Haven no longer than 7 months, and we got married. Because he, and we was together for 30 years until he died because we connected and we were still on the same page. But these guys ain't on no same page. They're looking for a booty call, and that's it. So it's hard today to find them. Then you got some looking just like a doggone a man, and it's a woman. You got to try to decide to filter out who is it, what is it. Yes, you got to ask questions, because if you don't, if you can't answer my question, then you ain't the one I'm looking for. I ask because I need to know where you stand, because I don't know you. And if I see that you got all these issues and stuff going on, then I don't want to, I'm going to move away from you. You're not it. You can't have all this baggage coming to my table. I don't want you, because well, that's trouble.
And that's,
I got to ask questions.
You're right.
Maybe I don't ask that many, but I ask to keep the real important ones that I need to ask to know is you the right one or not. Because they don't make guys like they do years ago. They just a whole different breed now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to ask them some questions.
Now, let me say, this is what I feel.
You know, dealing with a woman, don't even know it. Oh, no.
I feel just like what Richard was saying, that you know automatically it's a soul connection, and I feel that you can even do it at one. But last night, Mom, too, you said that, I mean, not Mom. Ooh, I said Mom, too. Sister, ooh, sister. You
That's
said,
okay.
You said last night that you felt that it could have to be, what didn't you say, like 5 years or something like that?
Let me tell you something. I said last night, I said tonight, and I will tell you tomorrow the same thing. I don't think that you can find, you can know your soulmate just by one evening.
No.
You could just chill. Oh, yeah. Like the other lady on the phone, like, oh, I knew at first. I felt the bubbles in my stomach. But
no.
This gas, baby, drink some ginger ale, I'll go away.
That was a lust thing.
You cannot see your soulmate like
that.
You
wanted a booty call.
Not necessarily, no.
Furthermore, I do not think you could know your soulmate.
No,
even
you
if
never
y'all dating,
know him.
Even if y'all dating for a brief period of time, like, oh, he's the one. Just because he's saying all the right things, just because he's doing what he's supposed to do, he's just playing the part.
That's all.
Part to get what they
just
want.
To get in the pants.
That's what I'm saying. It's after. It's after all that. After he done got it. After all that. After y'all
then what he gotta say.
It's after all that. After y'all been through some ups and some downs, it's after all that. After we've been through this, we've been through that. And if I still love you after all that, if I still have feelings for you after all that, if I still want you to come home and I can't wait to see you when I get home, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I was in a long-term relationship, and it was plain nice. I drove home, and I sat in the car. I just sat in my driveway. I just sat there because I was like, oh, boy. I did not want to go in the house. It's not because he was mean to me. It was not because he was bad to me. It's not because he was disrespectful to me. It's just because I didn't want to see him. And it had nothing to do with being bad to me or not. The point of the matter is I was not happy in the relationship. I was not going, opening my door and going into nothing that I felt like, oh, baby, I'm home. I didn't feel none of that. And that was when I said, this is bullshit. Like, I thought he was the right one once upon a time.
He was a nice guy.
Of course I did. He was nice. Auntie,
and
he
handsome
was a nice
on top
guy.
Of it.
Yeah, thank you, Auntie. He was handsome.
Very handsome guy.
Okay, Auntie. Okay, he was a nice guy. He was handsome.
Yes, he was.
He was good to his kids. He was all of that. Oh, yeah. Okay, he was everything that you would think. Like, this is the one, but he was not the one. We were just not compatible with our personalities, and we didn't match.
I mean, that's fine. But You could meet maybe the next
one. I don't match with
certain
races.
That's my
point.
No, that's my point. That is my my whole point, sister. What I'm trying to tell you is,
you could think
you found the right one. Everybody thought they found the right one. Once upon a time, you asked all these single women out here with children. They all thought that was the right one. They
yeah.
See the right one.
That's why they're alone.
Because you think it is.
But listen. But back then I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know what I knew now, what I know now about the law of attraction.
Yeah,
I didn't know. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something, sister. Back then I wasn't fast. I was not a fast ass. I knew what I knew and I thought that he was the right one. I did.
It's not like we got
on a first date and he got me pregnant. No, I really thought he was the right one, meaning that he was nice to me. He was a gentleman. He was all that. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than being nice and being polite. I did not know that. Now, how about let's peek this out. Just because a man is a gentleman to you and he's respectful to you, that don't make him the right one either. He was all that, but he wasn't strong enough for me. He wasn't strong enough to be the man that I needed him to be. He was strong enough to listen to me and do what I told him to do, but that's not what I wanted. I thought that's what I wanted.
Yep, that's what I had.
But that's not the man. That's not the man who could keep me. He wasn't the man who was able to keep me that I wanted to be with forever, because I was like, oh, my God, he just listened to everything I say. Like, I did not want that. I don't want that in my life. I didn't want to travel to the end of the world with him in my life. He was good. He was good enough to make babies with. Yes, he was. He's a good father. Yes, he is. I'm glad my children have him.
Yep.
However, he wasn't good long-term material for me personally speaking. He was a good man, and I would write references if I had to. Yeah, he's a good man. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. But he was not the right one for me. Not for me. He wasn't.
Now, I had the same type of man for 30 years.
But as you grow, things change. That's what I'm saying. As you grow, you become more clear and you're able
to. Yeah,
so
the right one. There goes your comment. Well, how do you know when you find the right one? You don't know. Because as you grow,
know.
Things change.
You've been 30 years
and
don't know
point.
It.
That's the point.
Oh, you know what? You don't know. I just had an aha moment. Guys, I just had an eye hum.
Yeah, I'm glad you got it, because I've been knew it.
Okay, no,
thanks
listen. That's what I'm thinking. Now, you can have somebody that you know you feel it in your soul, but love will naturally, and this is something key. Now, listen to this now. Love will naturally take you through the course of transformation, meaning you're going to go through some stuff that will test your love, bottom line.
Oh,
so yes,
that's what I did.
Now, I will say this. Sometimes what we may have a true love, but the process is so great such that we don't want to go through it, and we choose to throw away what is true for us just because it was it's a tough journey. Love will test you. You may feel it, and it's feeling good.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you can feel it in your soul. Like, man, woo. Like what Rich just said, the oneness. You feel one with this person, not two. It's one, like off rip. But as soon as the challenges come, because we're not conditioned to the understanding of the fact, or I should say to the overstanding based on our guest tonight, Anthony B. Collins, the theory of overstanding. So we're not on with the concept of overstanding the situation of love and the journey of yin and yang, positive and negative, that's just natural. We don't overstand that when you are going, if you think that you're going to have love, you're going to pay a price, and it's going to be some stuff you're going to go through. That's bottom line. But are you willing to go through it? Most of us, because we are unclear of simply the process of change, the process of gratification, the process that is necessary for us to get to that limit beyond, we bail out and throw away the child, even in some cases, it is the one that we are to be with. But we...
Well, if we get rid of it, if we get rid of it, this is my thing. If we get rid of it, then that's it. But so when you asked, when they asked yesterday, how do you know when you found the one? And I said, you got to wait 5-10 years. And he was all like, oh, I don't know. My thing is, when you wait 5-10 years and you've been through your ups and downs and your trials and tribulations, and you still say, I'm in love with this man, I don't care who you are or what you're saying,
yeah,
you
found the one.
That is the one, exactly. He got to
be
the
one. Yeah, but
he's
going to waste my time on him that many years.
If you love him at that time, you got to be the one.
Now,
he got
to put a ring on my friend.
He is your one.
Lock it in.
He is your one.
But if you are not wise enough to realize that he is the one, or you choose, we see life.
No, life has choices.
You got to put a ring on my finger. We ain't going to hang around like that. That's wasting my life and time.
This is what I'm telling you. If you've been through all these things with this man, and you still say, yes, I love him. That is my partner.
Yeah.
I love him to death. Then that's saying you.
But don't say the word partner.
You are the one.
Don't say that word.
No, you are the one for me.
That's your soulmate.
However, if we go through all of that, and you ask me, oh, are you still in love with him? I'll be like, I don't know. I may have thought he was the one back then, but I don't think he's the one now.
It don't take that long to figure that out, though,
no,
it does not take that long.
No,
I take you through some tests right quick.
No. I'm gonna tell you this.
I take it through a serious attention.
You could be in a relationship with a guy for 2-3 years. It just be you and him, and you think he's your world. Then you might go through a little something, whatever that something is. Maybe another female in the mix or whatever. Y'all get through that patch, and you be like, okay, well, I'm gonna forget about that, and I'll rock the one. Then you may have a child or two here and there, and you can go through stuff with the children. If you go through all of that, there's difference. There's different life.
I waited to have kids with him for quite a few years.
I can't do the music. I can't do the live music. But I feel like I gotta yell. I can't do it.
I waited three years to have kids with that man.
But this is what I'm saying. And you may have children.
I
want to
have no kids.
You know what? I wanted children. You may have children with a man. You know what? No, I wanted things before I did that. You may have children with a man and then find out that he don't even like kids. That's a whole different situation
right there. He might be selfish, just wants you for you only.
That's a whole
different situation
right there. And you know what?
Jealous of his own kids.
What happened to Mr. The One? He ain't the one so much no more, is he?
No.
He don't even like your children, his children. He don't even like them.
No, you don't want to share you. He's jealous. A jealous man. Selfish.
Mr. The One turned out to be not the one. Especially
he won't one. Yes, you are.
You could have a man. This is the thing. When me and my The One, we was going through, it was perfect. Everything was perfect until I got pregnant. When I got pregnant, I gained a little weight. I didn't do what I was doing before. So he felt, that's the first time he cheated on me when I was pregnant. That's the first time. Yes. And I was like, what? Why would a man wait for somebody to get pregnant and cheat on them?
You started acting funny.
And I know, I was acting funny because I never did this before. I never been through this. My body was different. I was feeling different. I was miserable. I went through a lot being pregnant. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't feel well. So I started acting different. So that means you're supposed to do what? Go out and do whatever you want to do or stay by my side. Mr. Who I thought was the one. I thought he was the one. I did.
That's when they start cheating on you when you get pregnant.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't know
who's
the one.
And that's
how
they ain't
their
baby.
You can think who the one is, but you don't know when she y'all go through stuff. If he's there with you through thick and thin, and
you
still
looking
on the other side, then that's the one.
That's him.
You can't put no time on it. You will know it when y'all go through it.
Yeah, because I didn't really know.
If you're happy in the beginning, everybody's happy in the beginning. Because that's what love is. Love is, oh yeah. But when the oh yeah turned to oh my God, and you still come out on the side, you still feel good about this man, then that's when you know you found the one. It ain't no one night, two, three,
it's
week.
It's like a friend.
Yes, it's when you go through
shit. She with you when you're in your bad time, then when you're friends.
When y'all still there, at the end of the day, then you know that's the one. You can't know he's the one that's gone never been through nothing. He ain't the one. He's just like everybody else. Everybody, we got a heart. Everybody has a heart. Everybody want to be with you when you sad and you down, you down, and down. But when you're the only person they with, like you my man and I'm your girl, and something happens, the whole dynamic change.
Let me ask
the
you.
First mind shift is to go
90
feel good.
Seconds.
So if my thing here is not good and I'm not feeling good in myself and or for myself or to myself, if I'm not happy within, then I'm not gonna be. I'm not gonna portray that. I'm not gonna.
Nah, keep it moving.
The outside. So if you can't rock with me when I'm at my low and you're supposed to be the one, then I know you. That's when I knew he was not the one, and that's when times changed. And even though we stood together years after that, I knew right then he wasn't the one. That's when I knew he wasn't the one.
Okay.
So yes, I
60 seconds.
But I found out different. I found out different. So that's why I said you don't know if he's the one. When everything's good, you can't possibly.
You never know the person anyway. You could be with him 50 years. You don't know him.
When everything is good, everything is good.
We have a part two on this discussion because I'm going to tell you something. Now there are two things. Now listen. Don't rush out. And let me finish saying what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
A few things that is to be considered. First, when you first met the person, when you meet somebody, I think that when it is the one, it is something that you feel connected with almost instantaneously. Because it is what it is.
10 seconds.
Whatever.
No.
I think it is what it is. Now listen. We are all at different places in our lives. And for those of you who are listening on the J. Ryle, the TJRS Radio Network, we appreciate you listening. But the show is technically over. You can call in on, or you can listen to 718-766-4227, and I think I'm too late with that one. But anyways, I want to thank you for listening on the TJRS Radio Network. It's been an awesome, awesome, awesome night. Don't forget to get Anthony D. Collins' book. His book, you can get it downloaded on Kindle. You can get it on Amazon. Absolutely amazing and transformational for you. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, it's singing my tune, baby. It's talking about energy, the law of attraction, how to change that negative, the negativity in your life, how to reverse that situation, because it is up to you. The power is all in your hands. Now, listen, we're going to continue just a few more minutes, because I'm going to tell you something, guys. You know I have a commitment tonight. What is my commitment? Everyone say it. Scandal.
Time to go.
I don't
know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be time to go right now. And Scandal is Scandal.
Kendall.
Scandal, the show, Scandal. I think it's
Scandal. Looking at American Idol.
They didn't end that shit yet.
It's up
season finale.
Isn't it back on? I don't watch TV enough to even know when it's coming on. I just know it's on my phone, and I'm just trying to catch it. I don't even know if it's still on for the season.
And the housewife myself get more knowledge about how to live like them.
I'm just saying. I just want to see the show. So anyways, so listen, guys. This is the bottom line. I really think that at some point we don't know. We may not know. We honestly may not. We may not be at a certain personal development stage ourselves that we can even grab hold to somebody that we could have been with for a lifetime or not. But I will tell you this: if you're not with them, then they held their season. You learn what you had to learn with them, and you move on, be happy, and know that there is someone that is there for you, and you just have to know that so that you can attract that energy and bring it to you. So it's not to say, oh, my God, I screwed up. I let them go. No, none of that.
You just wasn't the one, that's all.
But at the same time, sometimes we can let go of a good thing. We have a choice in all cases. That's what I'm trying to say, Auntie. sometimes we are just not developed enough ourselves. We're dealing with our own baggage and luggage. Let me tell you something right now. Even my old dude right now, I'm going to tell you right now, if I did not know, was not so connected with my intuition to listen and to follow, I am telling you, I wouldn't have been with the ride as long as I've been with the ride, because I could have taken what people would say. A lot of times we determine what is supposed to be the perfect picture for us. For example, okay, we're talking about, I mean, if somebody, say your mate has a different scenario than what is common, you'll listen to your girlfriends or your guy friends, man. You know you shouldn't be with her, man.
Yep.
You know she got six kids.
You
man.
Lose
man,
out.
You know, why you dealing with that? Man, you know what? You've gone too far. You 40-something years old. What the heck you dealing with? Man, she got a baby? Are you kidding me? And then we'll take that and just roll with it because, hey, you know, oh, man, no, you know, you're right. That does make sense. Then we bring all that thinking, that way, that perception into the relationship when, in fact, you got a real good man. I did a show once. Are you willing to pay the price of a good man? Some of us have men that got babies and baby mamas and things like that. But because he wants to be a good father, we don't want to deal with him. Oh, no, honey, you don't want that luggage. You don't want to deal with that. Well, why don't you? Because if that's the price of your good man, everybody's not perfect. We're not, when I say perfect, and who's to say that's a perfect scenario for you?
I'm praying for that.
Who's to say
change.
That's not perfect? Because it could be perfect.
Yeah, I'm praying for the change.
It's just a scenario that people don't like.
Deal with it.
I know you can't get with it, Auntie. I already know.
I can't. I'm trying. I'm praying for change to humble myself, to be too willing to be open-minded with people. But I'm not accepting everything right now, and I hope one day that I will. But right now, I'd rather be alone than to deal with the baggage. That's my choice.
No.
But I'm praying that I change, because people
no.
can't help
forget
what happens
the
to them in their life.
Forget
and
the
I shouldn't hold that against them.
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying? I should reach out and help somebody less fortunate than I am, but I choose not to. And
you
I don't want to be
somebody,
like this. You're selfish. You know, I know God don't like this.
If you want to help somebody that's fortunate, you can. Ain't no stopping you from doing that, but you don't got
to. I choose not to.
You don't got to be in a relationship with somebody that's fortunate or move them on your house and be how many years? This kid is how old? I got to do what? No, you don't got to do that. Don't shut up.
I don't want nothing
that has to do with kids. My kids are 13 and 21.
I ain't doing that with a
4-year-old.
I'm not going back like that. No way.
I can't do it.
You paying child support? Goodbye.
I can't do it. There's a reason why I stopped having children, and it's that reason why I don't want none around me. Because I'm looking for better things in my life, which means I want to move when I want to move. I don't want no babysitters. I want to find nobody to watch nobody. Yes, exactly. I want to move when I want to move, and that's why I stopped having babies after my last one, because
I want
to be able to do what I want to do. So if you come along, Mr. Wright, and you got a little boy, and you're like, oh, yeah, I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I ain't going to do it.
I can't do it. And I want to say another thing before we end this show about your quote-unquote Mr. Right or knowing you got the right one. It's something, you know, what I find quite amusing is we sit back and we talk about, oh, yeah, he's the right one. I know he's the right one. He got this. He got that.
Hey,
when you say he's the right one, you think he's the right one, but do he think you're the right one for him? How about taking a picture of that one? He'd be like thinking the whole story about you and his own plan for you. Y'all not on the same page. So that's why I don't preach about finding the right one. Oh, I feel it in my stomach or in my soul or we this and that. Because until you have
I'm going to ask you the million questions.
Until you have the conversation with the boyfriend, friend, the man, Mr. One, then you don't know if, who you are. Who are you in his life? So you want to talk to me about finding the one.
And what do he want from
out,
you? That's the question.
Until you find out what he wants. Are
what
you
he wants
one,
from you.
Are you
what
the one, or are you the two, or are you the three? You need to figure that out before you start preaching.
You
going to
be
one.
The provider? Are you going to be the sex fiend for him? The other woman, what he want from you to be? Nah. I asked the question. What do you want from me? Trust me. And I could tell you
that
make my decision on
run.
What I need to do with you.
Yes,
keep
run.
It moving.
I'm in love, and I love
I'm not wasting my time with nobody.
Neither.
I'm really not.
And I see all day.
I'm not getting younger. I cannot waste
they
my
run
time.
Around, they run around, tell them how much they in love, and they find the right one.
Yeah.
I don't even want them like that. I'm
takes
like,
in everybody.
You're a fool.
Takes in everybody.
And
they in love with everybody.
I'm nobody's fool. Mm-hmm. I won't do it.
I was born yesterday.
I'm allergic to foolishness, and I won't
I know I am.
Doing
I'm a strong black woman, and I can't go. I'm not getting down. I'm not going out like that. I don't get down like that.
So don't ask me about nobody being the one. He ain't nobody the one until I've done been through some things and we worked it out and I still love him.
And we stuck together through it.
We not the one. He's here. He may be here and we may be doing our thing. But is he the one? Don't ask me that question because I'm not going to lie to you. And nobody want to, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. So you guys will keep that question away from me. How should I know if he's the one? He's here. We rocking, but I don't know. Only time will tell.
And I'm not going to give you a lot of time.
Yes, and you know what?
Even when even from a teenager, I always asked certain questions.
Okay,
and then I spin around the other way. And they always answer just what I'm looking for. They couldn't understand why I won't dial their number. Because you are not the one.
And that's it right now.
Sorry, baby.
We are talking about not the one we were talking about tonight. I love everybody, y'all. We have to go. It's 10:10. I'm about to shut this baby down. And
okay.
Rich sister, you've been quiet. You didn't say anything, hardly. Come on, talk
you
to us.
You never do.
I know.
She listens. But she has good opinions and good ideas and suggestions when she do talk.
No, I just
she be
I just
dead
like
on
to,
when she do talk.
Well, I just like to, you know, sit and chill, take everything in, and you know, y'all made some great points. I'm sure not saying not to go into stuff blindly. That's not what I'm saying. And not to ask any questions. Please trust me. Please know. It's just when you see some people and it's just, you know, they spend years, YEARS in capital letters in bold and italics with someone. And they still hesitating.
Yeah, they're afraid.
Y'all been engaged for 20 years.
Yeah, well, they've been hurt too.
That don't make no sense.
That's why. Because they've been hurt from other people. That trust is not there.
You know, I mean, it just don't take that long.
It don't take that long, for real. For real.
That's some serious hesitation
that's
going on.
That's a waste.
On both parts, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
we'll have
to talk about the is it such that the vows can scare anybody because it like binds you. And if you're a free spirit, it just binds you. It's like you're like beholden to this whole thing. It's like you're on lockdown, ball and chain. Maybe they're just nervous.
There's somebody
about
for everybody, but we don't know where they at.
Well, I don't.
We try to find who will for everybody with it.
Well, listen, guys.
They're somewhere in Mars.
So... Oh, my God. Honestly. Well, I appreciate you guys. We're going to go around the table and do final thoughts
everyone. We're going to do Final Top first, and then I'm going to just hand out, do a couple more songs after we do our final thoughts and the closing. And so all of those who are listening, please, you can just keep on listening. I've got a couple things that's hot in the little queue here tonight for some music. We'll have a little fun with that. But first, I'm going to go around the table, and we'll do guests first. Okay, Richard, you were the first one in tonight. You want to give your final thoughts?
First and foremost, take the time to know who you are. First and foremost, because that's what can catch us up too when we go into relationships and not really knowing who we are.
Yeah.
First, get the time to really know you, as well as then making that having that opportunity to know someone else and have God first and foremost in your life, and with that combination.
Awesome. Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. I love it. Okay, Auntie. You got
definitely
going to
be based on prayer. You got to do a lot of praying, and that's key. And that will help you to, know that you're protected with God, if that's the one or not, so you won't get caught up. But you put him first, and I'm sure you'll be okay with whoever ends up coming in your life. I don't think you'll allow anybody that's not with you or for you or to harm you to enter into your life. So just put God first.
I heard that.
You'll be fine.
Absolutely. Okay, my sister.
My final thought is, when you think you found your number one, you make sure that you his number one, because one and one makes two, and then y'all can have a little baby, and that makes three. But the problem today is you think you found your one, then you make your little baby, and you add that three to the mix, and then the one that you thought was your number one, that he done subtracted himself from the equation, so then it'll be you and your baby by your damn self. So before you find your one and make your little baby, which is three, you better make sure you have your number one, and your number one thinks you the number one. And then when your number one is his number one, then y'all can make a little baby. But
when
you find your number one and your number one don't think you is number one, that's where all the trouble lies. And we walk around so proud that we found the one, before we even have a conversation with the man, before we have a conversation with him. Like, how do you feel about me? How do you feel about, and that's what the key thing is. Nowadays, girls are so afraid to ask that question because they don't want to hear the answer. How do you feel about me? How about that question? This is a simple question. You'd be surprised about the answers you receive. Yes, you'd be surprised about the answers you receive to that question. Because guys, even though they cheaters, they liars, all this, if you sit down and ask a guy that question,
you know what they want from you.
They would really tell you the truth if you ask them the question at all.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't ask, so we don't know, and we end up on the backside of the burner looking stupid. If you ask a man, what do you want from me? What do you think about me?
That's key.
Nine times out of ten,
they will tell
you the truth. They will tell you. Whether you choose to believe it or listen is a different story. But they will tell you. For real.
And it's good to want to know what they want.
I love that. And I'm going to say this in closing, that I concur with everything that everybody said. Everybody said some great things. I feel like this, yes, I do feel that we connect first to energy and we know. But I also would like to invite some of us to tap more into our spirit selves rather than to react so much on emotion, and especially for us women. A lot of times...
Let me tell you something, Chris. I'll tell you. Spirits, women could connect with a lot of men. But mostly speaking, I would be connected all day if I went on that. No, that's not how I roll. I'd be connected like a mother. You can't just go, oh, he looked good. I'm connected. You can feel connected to everybody. That's what we just
got.
That's what
we
just got. That's
why
I
said,
we're
going to
have part two
on this topic because I know what you guys are saying, but I'm telling you, you maybe not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying, connecting with the energy.
Sorry.
Connecting with the energy. I'm saying it's a soul connection. It's you know what? Actually, it's indescribable. Unless you have
for
had
to be spiritual, you both got to touch and agree on the same
unless,
accord.
No,
for
no,
to be
I'm
spiritual.
Not talking about the
you
religion.
Both got to go
no.
to church and love God.
Okay, no, I'm not talking about the religion.
That's what you're talking about, spiritual, honey.
No. When I'm talking
on that
about
level.
Spiritual. What I'm talking about.
It's no other spiritual it is unless you touch and agree on one accord. And you both love God
okay.
and you both go to church.
Okay.
Nah.
I got to mute everybody because we're going to keep talking all night. We're going to talk all night. So, I didn't even have to mute and rip this because she wasn't saying anything. But I love every last one of you. I love you so much. I'm going to unmute my sister because she'll kick herself off the show. And we won't have...
Thank you. I dare her. I won't show up for the next 3 weeks. You don't be muting me, goddammit.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to unmute my sister because she will have...